We'd like to welcome those of you who are listening to us tonight at midweek Bible study, Van Grove Baptist Church. We hope and pray you join the worship with us here in spirit and in truth. Tonight, I want us to look at spiritual emptiness. Now, let's remember something. The spiritual emptiness that I'm going to be talking about is the spiritual emptiness for Christians. Now, I realize that a person without Christ is spiritually empty. But for one thing, normally in about every group, every church, the ones who will come on Sunday night and Wednesday night are Christians. And yet, too often that Christians think that they never do want to really say anything openly with other Christians, focusing on spiritual emptiness, because they think, well, what's wrong with you? Why are you spiritually empty? Yet, very common, and it is human. While we're in this human form, we will battle every aspect of not only the human condition, but also the spiritual condition. This is our introduction to the spiritual realm in which we're going to. So it's a good lesson for us to learn that when we get spiritually empty, or when we feel empty, you know, well, I just can't grasp anything. I'm not getting enough out of this. I'm not getting enough. I read and I try to pray and nothing is going on. I want you to look at this a different way. When that really starts happening to you, I want you to look to it as a blessing from God. It is not where God says, I'm going to nail you with this. It is an emergency light that goes on and says to you, okay, pay attention. And people said, yes, but how can I as a Christian end up feeling this way? Well, because you as a Christian are still in a sinful body, in a sinful state, and we're still battling the conditions here on planet Earth. Plus, think of this, plus the spiritual warfare that is going on in the heavenly places, the scripture says, which will also, though, include our spiritual realm. Now, when God gives us, let's say he turns the light on, like Jean was talking about, you know, the light was telling her the tank's empty, you need to get some gas. That's the type of warning light that we get. I'm spiritually empty. And then, you know what we do? We go to people and say, my problem is I'm spiritually, I can't grasp it. It just doesn't matter to me. I don't want to pray. I'll get down to pray, and I'll go to sleep faster than I'll even remember praying. But, you know, I just feel this way, and I am empty. I'm hollow. A non-believer doesn't feel that. Now, I know that's not much of a consolation to us, but the thing is, if a person is not a Christian, they don't know, they don't have a spiritual emptiness like that the Christian feels. Because we know what it feels like to be born again. We know what it feels like for God's hand to be touching our life. We know what it feels like to be a Christian. And then all of a sudden we get all of these other normal feelings, and we Christians say, well, I shouldn't even be thinking thoughts like that. And I keep wanting to say to them, see, you can't talk this out with each other. And this is worked on. And when you have a spiritual emptiness, that spiritual emptiness is filled, refilled, by the same God who gave you that first spiritual emphasis in your life of salvation. And the excitement we have and the zeal we have for the Lord when we say yes to Jesus, we say, I just don't have the zeal anymore. But a lot of Christians say, what's wrong with me? Most Christians will say, it's my fault. I know that. What's wrong with me? Well, the thing that is wrong with you is, again, you're a human being dealing with real life living, frankly. That's it. And God has blessed us to let us know that, you know, what am I going to do here? Well, what did you do when you first accepted Jesus, when you first accepted a call from Jesus later on? See, we grow in salvation. We all know that. Okay, as you do that, what do? You go to the Scriptures and you start reading. And listen, I have been there to where I did not want to read Scripture. I was preaching, and I didn't want to read Scripture. And the battle, you know, lurks within inside of us, and every Christian is hiding, said, oh gosh, don't tell anybody I said that. Don't tell anybody that I feel that way. That's the trouble now, folks. We refuse to admit our human condition, and we refuse to admit so often that as a Christian, we're just not perfect. Now, I've got a lot, and you'll have met them, that says, no, I haven't sinned since the day I've accepted Jesus and all of that. And that's why you get away from them real quick. But us as Christians, God says, let me show you something, Larry. You want to know what your problem is? Let me turn the light on for you. And in that empty part, in that empty time, when when you're going through the greatest of pains and you've wept and you've bounced off the ground weeping so hard and so broken from whatever it is that breaks you, and you look again and there's that spiritual hand of God grabbing you, and as I seem to say all the time anymore, and says, I got you, Larry P. I got you. But you've got to remember something. You're going to feel empty again, and I'm going to push the button if you don't stay in my word. Don't you worry about what those people over there are saying. Don't you worry about what a denomination says or anything else. Nobody called you to preach but me. You stick with my word, my truth. And I started to say this is bad for us, but I do want people to like us. I want people to like me. But I can't help it if they don't like me. That's the thing. But it's not that I would say, well, I don't care whether they like me or not. I do care. I care about people. I care when I know that someone has stepped over a line, and I know that they've charged God foolishly, and I've seen the story so many times. I know the fall that's getting ready to happen. And I cry, I weep from within, because I know the hell that families go through with that. So God says, when I give you that feeling, here's what you need to do. I want you to listen to my word. How do I listen to his word? For one thing, I read it. I read God's word. Okay, well, what scripture you think is to be good for me? And you know what? I tell people, any scripture you want. See, the whole Bible is nothing but the word of God. God says this. It's all good for preaching and teaching and straightening us out. And again, let me remind you, if someone is asking you, it's a non-believer, I want to start, or they're a new Christian, what should I read first? Gospel of John. Always go to the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, you've got the mini Bible. In John 3:16, you've got the mini Bible. That's the Gospel of John is the gospel of pure love and of salvation and all. So we get this spiritual emptiness. Okay, preacher, get with it. We know that we're sinners. We know all of this. Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. Now, I don't have this, but I'm thinking the church at Ephesus is the one who left their first love. There's so many churches that had problems. But listen to the prayer that the Apostle Paul is praying on behalf of the church at Ephesus. Ephesians 3, second part of verse 19. And he's praying and said, that you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. The church felt was even charged with being spiritually empty. The love, you know, the walk away from the first love, or that in every church could be the church at Ephesus. Every church could experience that, or the individuals in it, even individually. Here's what happens, though, when we as Christians become spiritually empty. And look at it, because you will see that this has been a part of your life also. Every time that you would get in the rut and a ditch of life with that spiritual emptiness, it affects others. Everything we do affects someone else. It's my body. I'll do with it what I want. That's not your body. For one thing, you can do with it what you want, and you have a responsibility to everybody around you. You have a responsibility to everyone. And whether you know it or not or care, those people love you. And they are going to be hurt at your actions. So here's what happens with us. We're selfish. We become completely self-focused. When the Spirit of God is not leading, who does that lead? The spirit of me. It leaves the me, me, me. We'll become selfish. And part of that selfishness is this. And I know some won't think of it as that way, but it is. Selfishness in that I will not let those I love the most hear what's hurting me so bad, because I don't want to hurt them. Now, with me telling Faye over the years, you know, a lot of people don't understand this. My wife has never heard anything from me about what anybody ever has ever said. And she would never expect to ever hear it. But she knows me. And she can look at me and she will see the hurt. Even though I will not discuss it with her, then I become almost selfish. Selfish to the point of I'm in this mess. I got myself in this mess. I'll get myself out of this mess. And that, again, are a lot of hints to let you know there comes the me, 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 me. Okay, so I did something stupid. I had a bad case of the stupid. But God still loves me. And you're going to treat those that you love with silence and be so selfish you will not share that I'm hurting? Even though you can't say exactly, especially as a minister, what it is that's broken you like that, you can say, I'm broken. I admit that I am hurting so bad I can hardly breathe. And, you know, pray with me. Pray for me. The next thing that'll happen, we're impatient. Especially if we ask God, Lord, please deliver me. And 2 minutes later, saying, Lord, I still feel the same as I did 2 minutes ago. But we're impatient. Here's the next one. Our judgment is distorted. We don't make good decisions. How could we? As Christians, are we not told to pray about everything? Talk to the Lord about everything? And if we're not on speaking terms with God, it does not mean God's not on speaking terms with us. Therefore, our judgment becomes distorted. Well, I don't want to go to church today. Why don't you want to go to church today? Because nobody likes me at church. Every time I go in, nobody likes me, and I don't like anybody. So you just tell me one good reason why I ought to go to church. Well, because you're the pastor. That old joke's been around for years. Sadly, it's not always a joke on a lot of those situations. Next is, we lack compassion for others who are hurting. Huh? Think of that one. I'm hurting worse than you're hurting.
That's your problem.
Yep. I got my own problems to deal with. Listen to it again. Is that not the big I? Aren't we not? If I'm going to cry, isn't it required of Randy to be crying? Or of each one that's in the group when we're talking about, and if I'm hurt, shouldn't you be hurt? When we see a loved one, when we see a friend, when we just see anybody, let's say a stranger that's a child, and we see that hurting inside that child, and listen to the yelling and everything that's going on with a parent, knowing that child's really going to get it, but they ain't going to get it in front of this pastor, but they're going to get it later. Don't you hurt for them? We lack compassion for others who are hurting. That's with each other. We're quickly enticed by temptations. You know, I just can't help it. I'm just going to go back over in that parking lot across the bridge, and this time I'm just really going to drink something because they said that you were drinking something. You know, I look at that stuff and I think quickly enticed by temptations. When we are spiritually empty, when we are hungry spiritually, Satan shows us physical or the human way out. Anything that'll either dull your emotions, senses, pop a pill here, pop a pill there, drink something here, drink something there, it is so hard for us so often to hear the Lord's voice saying, pray, talk to me.
Instead of eating a candy bar.
Instead of eating a candy bar, yes. We feel more vulnerable, do we not?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the feeling. Now listen, folks, I'm going through these because I know these. I've been through these. And I would say most of you all have. If you haven't, you better keep it because you will be. We begin to think that we deserve certain things. Well, I deserve better than this. You on the thing, you ought to treat me like a queen. I deserve better than this. And then you realize that was the better than this. But again, is that not narcissistic? Is that not self-serving? We deserve certain things. With all that I've done for all of these people, I deserve better stuff. That's spiritual emptiness. I don't deserve squat myself for anything that God has given me the calling or ability to do. I don't know. For one thing, I don't even deserve my salvation. I don't deserve the love, but I got it. His love. We're short with people. We're more cynical. Your sin's worse than my sin. You know, go through all of that garbage. We're more critical in our thinking. Well, you know, my thoughts are that, yeah, God will probably bless me more because my sin was less a sin than your sin was. Remember what the only sin that was held different above any other sin, and Jesus is the one that declared it. You remember what that sin was and who it was that he said had committed the greater sin? Judas Iscariot, when he was talking to Pilate. Jesus says, it is not what you have done that I'm here, but he who turned me over to you, he has the greater sin. And I have never seen that and any other sin that's ever, because we know sin is sin. Okay. Our insecurities are more prevalent. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too old. Look at my wrinkles. Look at I've lost my hair. I've lost, and by the time you get through with that, anybody who's listening wished you'd lose your voice. Because your insecurities are so much more prevalent. I don't want to go out. Everybody knows what I've done. Let me tell you something, for those of you listening and all. If they knew, they don't care, because everybody's dealing with their own stuff. And not only that, that's where it comes in, and I'm one that really stresses this too. Any kind of publicity is good publicity. Yes, it is. The part about publicity is to get name recognition. Guarantee you that the publicity that people get for, I mean, look at all the criminals I dealt with over the years, and I can't tell you what any of them has done. I mean, you know, look at the bad that he, now what was it that he did wrong? I can't, well, if you're the he, and they're talking to you thinking that you're not the he, you tell them, oh no, he never did that anyway. We look for others to fill up what only God can fill up. We look to other people to fill us. We were filled by God to begin with. Other people cannot fill you back up spiritually. Only thing other people can do is love you. We love each other. That's what the family part's about. That's what salvation is. That's what we say. We are a part of the family of God. Spiritual emptiness never works for a Christian. Okay. Meaning, you can only handle it for a while. You can only handle it. You know something's wrong. And eventually, it just doesn't work. Well, I'm spiritually empty, so I'm not going to deal with it. You have to deal with it. But during that spiritual empty part, you don't think you have to, and you don't want to. You just want to forget about it. Well, something has got to change, because you can't stand it. As a Christian, you cannot stand being separated. You see yourself by yourself. You have separated yourself from God's Word and all, because you don't want to read. You don't want to do any of this stuff. But you know inside of you something has got to change. Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Now listen to this. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is, and then walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. The gospel has never changed. There's not a word from God that has ever changed. God didn't misspeak and have to come back and change it. So Jeremiah is telling them, look to the ancient ways. You hear me say, if you got really problems in this, and you can travel to go to where you accepted Christ, to where you first had that relationship. Now, does that have power? Only psychologically. But go there. Remember, when, no matter what attacks you, Satan will always come and say, see, you're not even a Christian. Okay, how do you battle that? You battle that, or allow God battle that for you, in that get back in your thinking to when you know that the hand of God touched you. And you look back at it and you're smiling. So therefore you know that in that emptiness, that lie that says that, you know, you're not really a Christian, you go back, you see it. That's where I encourage, if you can go back to where it was physically, go. Go. I took a little ride, and Faye and I did down in Greene County area the other day. And I drove those back roads, did like I knew where I was going. And she knew that I had no idea what I was doing. But I drove them, and we got back home a couple of hours later. But, you know, I look back in that area as to remembering where you're baptized, remembering how the, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing. We have a soul that desires to stay filled. When our body is empty, we eat and eat and eat. I didn't have enough room to go. When our body is empty, we eat. When our mind is empty, we study. Or we should be. Our soul is the real us. It's what defines us. That is the uniqueness of each of us. We can all talk about our similar pains and aches and all sorts of diseases, but it is the soul that defines us, makes us different from one another. Our soul filling is an investment in eternity. Everything we're doing down here, we know as Christians, is we're waiting for the eternal home. And so our feeling as a Christian is looking for eternity. When you lose all hope down here on earth, Jesus says, I don't care how old you get, where you get, and you say, well, I can never do anything again. Look at me. Jesus says, now look at me. I'm the one who formed you in your mother's womb. Look at me. Is Jesus not our first love? Is God not truly the God of our life? And he allowed us to be in this physical state, the human state, where we would have a choice to accept his son. The only of all creation that has the freedom to choose to accept love from God. None of the rest of them can choose. Dogs can't. Plants can't. Nothing can. 2 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7. Therefore, we are always confident. Well, let me tell you something. Apostle Paul never had any trouble with feeling confident. If he wasn't confident in a situation, he was confident that he is smart enough to handle it. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in this body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. Matthew 11, verse 28, second part of verse 29. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And you will find rest for your soul. And that rest for our soul is not grave sleeping. Well, you're going to go to sleep. You'll be in the ground when the Lord comes. I ain't going to the ground. The whole focus Sunday morning is on our children that have gone on. I think you'll like what we've done to give to the families that lost me. Five children. And
it was a write-up in the paper about them.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I saw Jessica. Was it Jessica's?
Yeah.
Oh, it's...
Named the baby.
Yeah. We'll be naming those Sundays also. For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area, you come see us. 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove.